Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They don't look at football in the same way.
You look in your little black box.
You always hate me going to the computer box.
You always search for something that don't matter.
You always hate me going to the computer box.
You seen the film like I seen the film, man.
And it leads to a lot of disagreements.
He's not answering my questions anymore? This is a silent protest?
Every Thursday at 5, it's time for former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber to join the drive.
Sean Barber's here. 15 minutes earlier than I thought he was going to be here. I was anticipating a 2:15 appearance for Sean Barber. I get bonus Barber.
Bonus Barber, baby. Bonus Barber. You know what I'm saying? What's up, brother?
How you doing today? Can I ask you a question before
What's up,
we
brother?
Get going? How you doing today?
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? That's
Check
how
Tuesday.
You want me to say it back?
Check Tuesday. Special players, special teams, make special plays.
Oh, okay. Got you. Can I start with a question before we get going?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we have a group chat. The group chat over the last like 10 days or so have been Barber and Binkley arguing about the NFL draft. And I just kind of sit back and I enjoy watching it. Now, every Wednesday, Barber sends us in this group chat. He sends us a mock draft.
Yes, sir.
The reason I stopped replying in the mock draft is for Barber's first 6 mock drafts, he had Caleb Williams going number 2 overall to the Washington Commanders, and it was just hard for me to look past that. It was difficult for me to do it. So let me at least start with this. We know who the number 1 overall pick is going to be. We don't have to debate that. Do you like Jaden Daniels more as a prospect than Caleb Williams, and why, if you do?
Obviously, you just stated the fact that I had Daniels as number 1.
For weeks.
Yeah, he still is my number 1. Like, it's nothing. Last year I had Bryce Young as my number 4 quarterback, though he went number 1 to the Carolina Panthers, and I understand the reasons why. There's a lot of exterior pressures on quarterbacks and general managers to do what you would call make the, you know, status quo, do what everybody's, you know, it's a lot of jobs on the line when you can talk about making the number 1 overall pick. So you don't always have the what is it called? You don't always have the intestinal fortitude. You don't always have the power behind you to actually go with who you feel is the most talented quarterback. And sometimes actually with a team, it has nothing to do with the actual talent of a quarterback. If you bring all 4, 5, 6, however many quarterbacks you have in the first round, how many do you have in the first round?
I think it's going to be 5.
Okay, that's a good number. If you bring all 5 of those quarterbacks into the same setting and have them do quarterback drills, I'm pretty sure Caleb Williams will be the one that rises to the occasion and has the most impressive arm, the most consistent throws and all that kind of stuff. But there's something about Jaden Daniels and how he's just persevered and went through things that I think that when it comes to Chicago Bears, the pieces they've already put around him, he doesn't need to be Superman. He needs to be able to play within the schedule of the game and the schedule of the offensive coordinator. I think he will actually win more games for the Bears than Caleb Williams would win for the Bears, and that's why he was my number 1 pick.
I see a lot of Kyler Murray in Caleb Williams, where I think the physical things are all there. I think what has maybe stopped Kyler for taking that next level is some of the off the field stuff and just simply connecting with teammates. Like I remember whenever Caleb Williams, I think his work ethic was being questioned pretty strongly. And I didn't really hear many teammates kind of step up and be like, hey, Caleb's always in the film room. Caleb lives in the playbook. Like people were kind of letting us get our jokes off about him in Call of Duty. My question with Caleb is not really the football part of it. I've seen the football part of it since he was a freshman at Oklahoma. And I think we knew then that he had a chance of being a very special player. I do have some questions about Caleb Williams and is he going to be able to connect with teammates? And you know better than anybody, like, you got to be a leader of men in that locker room. And I don't know if Caleb possesses all of those personality traits to do that at a really high level. You look at Mahomes, people follow him. You look at Burrow, you look at Jalen Hurts, like they have an aura about them. I don't know if Caleb has that in a locker room.
Well, I mean, it's kind of strange. You know, if you mentioned like when Patrick Mahomes came out, well, I don't think anybody was dissecting Patrick Mahomes and saying that he was a, you know, leader of men. And I mean, the whole focus on Patrick Mahomes was the fact that he was turnover prone. He didn't value the possession. And if a coach could not convince him to value the possession, not turn the ball over, not just throw it deep when no one's available, not, you know, 50-50 balls when you're in field goal range, that he wasn't going to survive in the NFL as a quarterback. No one doubted his arm talent. It was his decision making. And could a coordinator or a head coach, you know, kind of, you know, wrangle that in or get him to tune it down a little bit, which obviously has been done and he's been able to excel as one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. So I think when a guy has the talent on the field, all this, the leader of men and all the extra things, you're really not going to understand how a guy evolves and grows in the NFL, unfortunately, until he gets to the NFL. There is no way to pre-call it. There's no way to indicators of that. And whether teammates come to his beckoning, come to his call, come to support him or not, again, the NFL is completely different than college. So I would take all that stuff with a grain of salt. You got to sit down and talk to the guy for an hour. And after talking to him for an hour, you'll know which one of those guys you feel is going to be the best leader for your exact team. And so that's why at the end of the day, man, I think that you just got to put the faith in Ryan Poles as a general manager to say, of course, he's sat down with all these quarterbacks, and whichever one he feels the most comfortable with as far as leading that team from 2024 on, I mean, even if it's not the most arm-talented guy, if it's a guy that doesn't have the greatest 40, not the greatest scrambler, but just as in general, like you're saying, from a leadership standpoint, the guy he feels the most comfortable with handing over those reins, that's the one he should pick.
Are you a Drake May believer?
I mean, I think Drake May is a good quarterback. I mean, I wouldn't pick him. Because if you're picking, you know, first, second, or third is because your team has holes. And so you expect somebody who's getting drafted at that level to be able to, he's going to have to deal with some scrambling, some leaky offensive lines. He's going to have to be able to throw it on the run. He's going to be able to scramble for first downs. And to me, him and J.J. McCarthy, their skill sets just doesn't fit those narratives. So if I was the Patriots, if I was the Washington Commanders, and if I'm the obviously number one pick, the Chicago Bears, my three quarterbacks that I would pick in order would probably be the three quarterbacks that have the ability to scramble, throw, and run the best, which, you know, in my case is Jim Daniels, then Williams, then Penix Jr.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Sean Barber. The thing to me that's most interesting about this draft is we know who the number one overall pick is going to be. I think we know who the number two overall pick is going to be. I checked the Vegas odds. It's back to where it was a week ago that Jaden Daniels is going to be selected by the Commanders. And then I think the Patriots can do just about anything. Like, I could see the Patriots drafting Drake May. We need a quarterback. A quarterback is there on the board. He has the athleticism. We'll coach him up. I could see them taking Drake May with the number three overall pick.
Can I ask you, are you thinking about the Patriots as the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots? Or are you thinking about the Patriots as the Gerard Mayo's Patriots? Like the new head coach, this ain't our mamas and parents. This ain't the Patriots of 20 years ago. This is a new brand of Patriots.
You're 100% right that it's a new brand of Patriots, but I don't care who your head coach is. If you were going into the season and right now your starting quarterback is Jacoby Brissett with Bailey Zappe as a backup, you have no chance of being competitive for this upcoming season. So I think that usually forces teams to extend themselves at quarterback and spend a high draft pick to go get a Drake May. I think the Patriots could also trade back. Like, if I'm the Patriots and I don't love Drake May and I've got questions, and I would say with this wide receiver group, I think Marvin Harrison's going to be a phenomenal player. I think Malik Nabers has a chance to be really good. I think Romo Odunze has a chance to be a good player. If we could trade back from 3 to, let's say, 7, we pick up a future first-round pick and maybe some additional assets. We still get a top-flight wide receiver that we really love and pick up assets. I don't know if that's a bad strategy either, or I could see them staying at 3 and just taking Marvin Harrison Jr. and saying, we're going to take who we think is the best player on the board. Maybe the value at taking a quarterback is greater, but we think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a future Hall of Fame wide receiver, and they take him number 3 overall.
So on one hand, you say there's a clear-cut tier one wide receiver in Marvin Harrison, right? He's a clear-cut.
To me, yeah.
Right? And then there's a bunch of guys who are very high level. You just, you know, kind of dependent on their environment. Where they end up going will determine how good they be, whether they're going to be a, you know, perennial Pro Bowler or somebody who's going to be traded after a few seasons, right?
Yeah, you know how we always talk about, like, with offensive linemen, like, oh, this is a really safe pick. I don't see a scenario in which Marvin Harrison Jr. is not a top wide receiver in the league. I'm not saying he will be the best wide receiver in the league. I think at a minimum, he's a guy like Jaylen Waddle. I would take Jaylen Waddle with the 3rd overall pick and be happy with his rookie contract, especially for a team like New England that just has no skill position players right now.
Well, I mean, if your goal is to just to collect pieces in high-level pieces, some skill-level players, I think most organizations at the end of the day, the goal is to actually, like, they want to compete and win ball games. If you don't have the quarterback position, like you said, if you Zappe and Brissett is not going to, I mean, that's not going to prevent you. That's not going to get you playoff wins. That's not going to lead you into the playoffs. So eventually you have to draft a quarterback. I would say every team that drafts a quarterback should be trying to rest that quarterback a year, let them learn the system before actually playing them. Some organizations are not going to be in that position because you drafted them too high to let them sit. So if you're the number one and number two quarterback overall picks, and maybe even number 3, you got drafted too high to sit the whole season. So you're going to sit half the season, maybe 4 games, and then it's going to be go time. It's going to be time to show why you got drafted where you did. I just don't think the Patriots at that, you know, in the shoes they're in, their team as a whole, they're not one player away. They're just not. And it doesn't matter if the quarterback, wide receiver, this is not the season for the Patriots to make a push to the postseason. So, yes, you would like to see a team like that be able to trade back, make multiple picks, try to increase the depth of talent versus just hitting on that one player. But also, if you don't have the quarterback position already confirmed, and it's not a quarterback that can play high level, and you have the opportunity to make a pick at 3, you don't know if next year you might be out the top 5. So, I mean, at some point you got to roll the dice and pick a quarterback, evaluate them, pick somebody who can play at a high level. And then again, you got to decide as an organization, are you picking a quarterback because of his skill level and then you're going to build an offense around him? Or you're picking a quarterback because your offensive scheme is ready to roll and then you're hoping to mold that guy and put him into your offense and have him be a game manager, have him be a Brock Purdy. The 49ers offense was not built around Brock Purdy. We know that. But he was very successful at running that offense. It's already made to be run. You put it on autopilot. All you got to do is not turn it over in key situations. That is totally different than what the Eagles, let's say, have done with Jalen Hurts. They are building that offense around to his strengths for him to succeed. And that's just two different philosophies. And the Patriots, the Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, Saints, the Washington Commanders, obviously the Chicago Bears, all of those organizations have to make that decision internally. Are we going to build around the quarterback based upon his talents, or are we going to go ahead and ask this quarterback to come in, see what we already have, and ask him to kind of just keep steering the ship the right way?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Patriots right now and their skill position players. I mean, the Patriots have, I mean, I think outside of Carolina, they are the least talented team in the National Football League. I mean, they got Ramondre Stevenson, who I think is a fine running back, but not really a game changer. I actually liked Antonio Gibson. He's a fine backup player. I mean, I'm looking at their wide receiver. Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas, KJ Osborne, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, just below average wide receivers. They got Hunter Henry at wide receiver. I can't believe Hunter Henry is still in the National Football League. He played with Phillip Rivers in San Diego. That's how long Hunter Henry has been in the league. One more quarterback I want to get your thoughts on is J.J. McCarthy. This has been my biggest point on McCarthy. I feel like we are kind of using the same logic that we use with Mac Jones, where like Mac Jones had, remember, it was like, hey, he's got a high floor. But that's not how you're evaluating quarterbacks in the league. You're evaluating quarterbacks based on their ceiling and how good do you think they can be. And if you look at the top quarterbacks in the league, look at what Patrick Mahomes is, look at what Burrow is, look at what Lamar is. These were guys that were great college players that were made to kind of carry an offense, and it is translated to the next level. There is not a guy that I can think of who has been a caretaker in college, and now you think he can be your franchise quarterback in the National Football League. We're talking about a guy that didn't throw for 3,000 yards, never threw 25 touchdown passes in college, and now we think he's worthy of the fourth overall pick. It blows my mind, people's evaluation of J.J. McCarthy.
I got to believe that he definitely excels in the leadership role just because of who his head coach was, what they've done in Michigan. He won a lot of ball games in college. Michigan is full of a bunch of alphas, and you just can't put anybody in front of some alphas and expect them to be able to rise to the occasion. So I do got to take my hat off to him and say he does those things. Listen, my philosophy about how to build teams, unfortunately, is not a popular one, but I think all this time that most radio stations, podcasts, whether you're locked on the NFL draft or any other segment, and you're listening to all the evaluations of 40 times and velocity of throws and can he hit the mid-level, does he, you know, read top, all these different characteristics and avenues to try to grade a quarterback. To me, either he has the capability to make the throws and then he has the qualities to lead a team in pressure situations, he doesn't get flustered. If a guy checks all of those boxes, the next most important thing that will depend in determining his success in the NFL has nothing to do with that player. It's who do you have in your room coaching him? Do you have the right coordinator and head coach that's going to take advantage of his abilities and put him in successful and optimum situations? Or are you going to do what the Chargers do and fourth and three, put him behind eight ball and big – in terrible situations and ask him to put on a Superman cape and win you ball games like they're doing with Justin Herbert every weekend. And Justin Herbert is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL, but he has a losing record because the organization is surrounding him with quarterback coaches and head coaches and coordinators that are just putting him in terrible situations and asking him to go play hero ball. That is never going to win in the NFL. It's just too much tape out. It's too many eyes on a quarterback. It's too many defensive players to try to think that you're going to put the team on your shoulders and just win the game by yourself. So if you're asking me of these teams, the who they picked is not the greatest importance. It's who do you have coaching the guy? Who do you have in your locker room, in your game planning, helping you as a head coach to really – shine a light on this guy's talent and put him in the best situations possible.
You're a big mock draft guy. Is there a prospect that you like really love? Are you like a big Dallas Turner guy? Is there just a guy you're like, hey, I think that guy's going to be a really good pro?
Again, if we just rewind the tape about 15 seconds, it's the so if you tell me who ends up at a certain team, I can like it or love it based off of who I believe is already there coaching them. There's some really great coaches in the NFL. Not every coach in the NFL is a great coach. Some coaches get by because guess what? They got a room full of studs. You just got a room full of studs. You can't fail. All you got to do is get out the way, you know, pat them on the butt, tell them keep working hard. Hey, you got a whole room full of studs. That's not hard to coach. But when you don't have that and you got to coach the finite, the details, how to finish a route, how to carry a ball, how to hold on to the ball, how to keep churning for extra yards, when to churn for extra yards versus just get down, get the first down, let's move on to the next set of downs. Defensively, how to come to balance, how to finish ball carrier. Obviously, we're going to penalize hip tackle.
The hip drop.
So, yeah, you can't hip drop no more. So anybody who's been coaching the Seahawk tackle for years, you better get out of that. You better find a better way to coach
guy,
guys.
I don't think J.J. McCarthy can be a star quarterback in the league. Now, could you get him to a point where he is not a bad quarterback in the league? Sure.
Put him with the 49ers. Do they still?
I mean, I don't think Brock Purdy's a superstar quarterback. I think Brock Purdy's capable quarterback. Yeah.
I don't really see Brock Purdy being any better than J.J. McCarthy. He was. Can we be honest? He was Mr. Irrelevant. I mean, it's a reason he wasn't drafted into the last pick, right? So we can't say because he's started a year in the NFL, all of a sudden he has all these intangibles and talents that we just everybody missed on? Everybody?
No, you're right. But I guess maybe to the Brock Purdy point is, if you're telling me like JJ, like if you're going to draft JJ McCarthy in the seventh round and he turns out to be Brock Purdy, that is an overwhelming success. Would you have used the fourth overall pick on Brock Purdy? And I mean, no. Not just the fourth overall pick. You got to, if you're Minnesota, you got to trade up to the fourth overall pick. You got to give them the next year pick. You got to give them Justin Duke. You got to give them a whole lot of stuff to move from 11 to 4. So that wouldn't be worth it to me if you're telling me he's going to be Brock Purdy. Like, what's the best case scenario to justify drafting J.J. McCarthy? Let's say he turns out to be Kirk Cousins. Let's say he is the exact same quarterback that they just had. He is just the younger version of Kirk Cousins. Is that worth the fourth overall pick? I would say no, it's not worth the fourth overall pick.
If you're the Patriots, it is. If you're certain teams and you don't have a quarterback, then there is no limit of how high I would go to get a Kirk Cousins, a capable quarterback, a quarterback that can make all the throws. A winning level quarterback. That it's so hard to win in the NFL, play in the NFL, to have any kind of, I mean, from a coaching standpoint and general manager standpoint, to have any kind of sense of longevity and to stay around and continue to stay at your job. It's very hard to do it in the NFL if you don't have that position correct. No matter how good your staff is, no matter how good the plays you call, your preparation, all the things you're doing, if that position isn't right, ask the Jets. Talk to the Jets about
Zach. There's a lot of teams we can talk to based on last year.
They went with Zach. Zach, he failed the organization. He failed a lot of people. That doesn't mean that their coaching staff, the general manager, Joe Douglas, isn't a good GM.
Well, he's okay.
He's okay?
He's okay. He's all right.
He's put together
a lot for a 41-year-old quarterback with weird conspiracy theories. And it, shockingly, it is not going well so far for the New York Jets. Coming up on the other side, I do want to get your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the 32nd overall pick in the draft. I think they have two glaring needs. As we head into the draft, they got a wide receiver need. They also have a left tackle need. We'll see how you think they're going to fix those needs. And, Sean Barber, I found your draft profile. We'll go through your draft profile coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car wreck? Get the money you deserve. Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kansas City, it's Brett Veach. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Sean Barber, you know what I found? I found your relative athletic score.
My RAS?
I did. I found it.
They didn't even have a RAS back when I was.
I'm gonna read it to you.
That's an adjusted RAS. They didn't have. I'm telling you, bro. They did not have a RAS. They took some old numbers and put it into a new formula, and they came up with a RAS score.
You ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, Sean Barber, a linebacker from Richmond, you were the fourth round pick. You were pick 113 in 1998. That's you, right?
Yeah, that's me, but I ain't.
They have your size grade as poor.
Yeah.
We have it at
poor. I was a little undernourished.
They have your.
I didn't have a training table.
They have your weight as poor, and they have your 10-yard split as poor.
Yeah.
Now, you got great on the 20 and the 40-yard dash. They have a great.
Because I didn't really care about the start. To me, it was the first three turnovers. I'm racing the 20. Forget that two-step.
I'm just telling you what they have you as. They have you as great in the 20 and the 40. They have your height is good. You have good height. Not great, not bad, good. Your vertical jump was elite. Your broad jump was elite.
Where are you saying?
Elite, it says. You have a very high score on the vertical. Very high score on the broad.
Rob, elite.
You also dominated the short shuttle.
Dominated.
You were okay at the three cone drill.
Who's that receiver that was trying to do the three cone for the was that Dunze?
I didn't see it.
What?
He was bad at it?
No, he stayed like the whole day. He tried it like 15 times.
And he just never got it right?
Well, he was trying to get his steps right. And there's a certain number he knows he can run, so he was trying to run it. And they say he tried it like 15 times.
Mm.
You didn't see, what, do you even watch anything?
Like, I watched them play actual college football. So, no, I'm not watching the NFL track and field events.
Wait,
no.
I mean, you're going to bring up combine stuff.
Bringing it up because I'm talking to the person.
Golly.
I'm going through your combine numbers.
Elite.
It's not like I'm like, hey, Elite. Let's talk about J.J. McCarthy's pro day. I don't want to talk about that. I'm not watching that.
Elite.
I watch J.J. McCarthy play real football games.
And guess what? Guess what? People's weight and height, that don't tackle nobody. Weight and height don't tackle nobody. You know what do? Speed.
Okay.
That would speed do.
They said on your 40-yard dash that you ran 21 miles per hour. That's what they have you at.
Smoke.
You was moving. That's what it says. It says you was moving.
I was a Tesla back in the day before Tesla.
That's what it says.
You actually
have a great RAS score. You got an 8.94. You were a very athletic human being. That's why you got drafted in the fourth round.
Bro, tell me things I don't know.
And
a lot of this is going to sound cocky, right? Because when you tell me about things that
I'm just reading. I don't know. People might not know.
I guess what? A lot of this stuff I don't even know.
You know what? That actually checks out.
You remind me about things that I've probably just locked away. I stowed it away because like nobody wants to hear about my RAS and how athletic I used to be and da da da. Like, Barbara, what can you do for me now? I can motivate you. I can tell you about how to keep your focus.
You can teach somebody how to do the broad jump. You were great at it.
I can Rafiki you and tell you.
No, you do that often.
You know, so there's some nuggets of wisdom I have I can unlock. But, you know, like me telling you how great of a broad jumper I was, a vertical jump, like that ain't going to help you. So let's talk about the process. Like that's, again, my whole podcast that talks about the process.
You love the process.
Because the product is what you're reading right now.
Mm-hmm.
How did I produce those numbers?
Yeah.
At Richmond, you know how to produce. I didn't have no guru trainer training me to produce those numbers.
Just all his hard work, determination, blood, sweat, and tears.
Man, I had the old V8.
You were training like Rocky IV.
The old V8 camera set up on a tripod. I press record, and then I would just work. I would run my starts in my 40s over and over again, trying different stances, different foot patterns. I would do my short shuttle. Trying different steps, different foot patterns, different hand placements.
You should have done the three cone drill a little bit more according to this. You might have been drafted in the third round had you knocked out the three cone drill.
If I knew I could stay all day and keep trying.
Yeah, you might have smoked it.
Back when I did things, back when we do, they didn't tell you your results. Like you, when you ran things.
Yeah, now you run the 40 and it's instantly. It's yeah, right you couldn't there, look at 4K.
Then
you can run it six times if you want. You can keep running the 40 get your score.
Yeah, you didn't find out your numbers until like at the end of the day, your agent would give you a call and text you. Mine was a beeper, like a pager.
Mm. I feel like I know how you're going to answer this, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Go for it, man. Be brave.
All right.
Say it with your chest, though.
I'm going to say it with my chest. All right. Chiefs are up to the Chiefs are picking right now.
All right.
The best available offensive tackle is on the board. The best available wide receiver is on the board.
All right.
What direction do you want them to go?
Can you give me some more information? So when you say the best, are we talking about the 11th offensive tackle and the 6th or 7th wide receiver?
Yeah, I don't know if 11 tackles are going to be taken in round 1, but so let's say it's you can get Tyler Guyton or you can get Xavier Worthy. Which one would you rather have?
Tyler Guyton. Tyler Guyton. I mean, so to me, this is a very unique draft because of the amount of offensive tackles and offensive linemen that are grading out at first round draft picks. Collectively, I think I read someplace that about 45 in the entire draft, the average number of offensive linemen that are drafted is 45 for the whole seven rounds for the last 5 years. And this year, just in the first round, we got about 10. And up, we say about 10. We got 12 guys with a first round grade, but we just don't think there's going to be 12 teams, you know, picking offensive tackles. So at least 10 are going I think the high was 9, like 2 years ago. I think
that number actually makes sense when we watch football on Sunday. It doesn't feel like the NFL drafts a lot of offensive linemen or develops them very well when I look at the product sometimes.
Well, a lot of things are what organizations are doing. I mean, if we look back at the last three drafts and we say, hey, man, there's a lot of edge rushers and corners going really high. Like that seems, you know, wide receivers are going off the board and people are drafting cornerbacks to cover these high-end wide receivers and going back and forth. And that many teams are investing in the offense and defensive line. But then you look at which teams always historically go in the offensive defensive line. You think the Chiefs, you think the 49ers.
The Eagles. Teams that win.
Shocking. It's shocking. But it's like you're saying, it's not a sexy pick. A general manager doesn't get kudos. He doesn't get patted on the back for taking the 8th, 9th, 10th offensive lineman.
It's just rarely exciting, and people want these. Like people want the pick they can evaluate. Like, it's easy to evaluate a wide receiver and how you think it's going to translate. It's hard to do that when they take an offensive lineman. So that's just not an exciting pick. Is there a wide receiver that you think makes the most sense, like a fit that is going to be there? Like Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. All right,
so let's do
Troy Franklin out of that group.
No. I can't even believe you ended on that.
Right? I just was people I mean, around the 32nd pick. He's going to be picked around 32. Wouldn't it be crazy if the Chiefs took Troy Franklin at 32?
I don't even want to think of an analogy of how to put this. So I would say that how to say this and sound just if you were having an issue with the radio show. And they told you, like, it's not you. I'm getting bad mics. Oh, let's talk about what's going on now. I come in a radio show. You give me this janky pair of headphones. I can't even hear what you're saying. I can't hear anything besides myself unless I pull the cord to about 5 o'clock p.m.
You got to persevere.
And I got to press it just the right pressure while I'm trying to think about what I'm saying on the radio. And then if I can't think of things, I know the reason why is because these janky headsets. And then you give me the chance to pick a new headset, and I pick the exact same brand. It's janky for a reason. This one has, like, no, I'm going to pick a brand that doesn't have cord issues.
You're saying Troy Franklin's another pair of janky headphones?
His hands.
He can't catch.
I'm saying there's times where he has to track a ball, and it just seems that he goes a different direction than the ball, and sometimes.
That doesn't sound good.
Would you call him a Mr. Applebee's type? Is that kind of what you're referencing?
You want to know who I don't
Rob,
want?
Rob, I like how you come in, man. Rob, you just came. I'm just saying, bro, like there's a lot of, receivers. There's a lot of receivers that have great hands. There's a lot of receivers that have great speed. There's a lot of receivers that run great routes. There are some receivers that have a combination of all of those things. Of the things that are left when it comes to the 32nd pick, if you're telling me I'm picking around wide receiver 7, 8, or 9, I'm not going to choose the one who has shown to have some shaky, I'll say some unconfidence. He doesn't have a lot of confidence in his hands. Let me put it like that without being – I ain't gonna be negative with that young man. He ain't like his coaches don't even give him no hand drills.
I would hope so. He went to Oregon. He had the greatest gloves that one could have. I looked up his player comparison. David's player comparison is Robbie Anderson. I would take Robbie Anderson.
No, you shouldn't.
You don't like Robbie Anderson? He actually changed his name to Chosen.
So again,
of all the names you can choose your name to, you got lucky on the. You got Robbie, and you want to be Chosen now.
How about just play football? How about you know who I want the Chiefs? I want the Chiefs to pick whichever receiver is the most focused about playing football, not about becoming a radio producer or TV producer, starting their own clothing line.
I mean, they didn't do that last year. A wide receiver, it worked. They got Paul Walker to be their wide receiver, and it looked like it worked out okay for him last year.
See, you think you're funny.
That's not who he is. They got Speed Racer.
Come on, man.
That's not who they got.
Too early.
Okay, I'm just saying. You said you want guys that are focused on playing football.
Yes.
I don't know if I can say that about their wide receiver choice last year, and it worked out for them.
Stop talking about old stuff. Don't.
Bad.
Stop going in the past.
He's currently being sued.
In the past. He's outside of his control.
He's currently in litigation.
A general manager doesn't have control over that kind of stuff. All you have control over is the guys that are on the board. As they fall off, you pull them off. Then you got a crew of guys. You have a handful. It's two or three picks left. You got five guys you're interested in. You got to evaluate them. Are you going off of just skill level? Or are you going about, like, does the guy, like, does he want to be a great football player? Is he happy that he's getting drafted in the first round and he's going to be, play out that contract and hopefully, you know, get to sign someplace else? Or is he trying to come into the league and be like the next Marvin Harrison, the next Jerry Rice, the next Terrell Owens? I mean, is he coming pursuing greatness? I think that's a like unfortunately for all the mock drafts and all the things we do, we don't really get to have a true viewpoint, a camera, a look in. How are these guys' preparation, their focus, how are they attacking the NFL? What is their purpose and their passion beyond what they did to prepare for the combine and then prepare for the season? So I think, man, you talk about One of the greatest, and I got to listen. We don't being on 610. There's some other things I do. I do a podcast called the Process, where the process is greater than the product, and that's on KCSN's network. Part of the draft prep I did last year was I had the opportunity to go to the combine and I interviewed a bunch of these guys. So the reason I was so excited about Zay Flowers, it had nothing to do with his film. It had nothing to do with any of the statistics at BC. When you talk to him, you saw a fire in his eye. He wants to come to the league and be great. That's during that conversation, 15-minute conversation.
Did you guys talk about ball security around the goal line?
Be great. Okay. He wants to come to the league and be great.
I didn't know if you asked about ball security around the goal line.
That's one play.
Might have played the Super Bowl.
That's one play.
He'd been better at ball control.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.